is on this verse. It's a very, I mean, there's all of them,
but this one also special. So there's so many things to say. We'll first chant the verse, and it would be very good for you if you can keep it in your mind and memorize it. These are very good memorizing verses. It's text number 2. I don't know. I printed it out for myself.
You're
yeah.
talking about the English, or only remember
Sanskrit too. Both. Yeah. Both. Come on. I know. It's tough, but you can do it. You have to. You print it out. You put it on the refrigerator. And you chant it before you go in your anytime.
That's a lot.
Is it okay? I don't know. All right. So we'll just move right along. We'll chant this responsively. Is that what you usually do? Atyahara priyashascha.
Atyahara priyashascha.
Pajalaponiyam agraha.
Pajalaponiyam agraha.
Janasangascha lolyam cha.
Janasangascha lolyam cha.
Shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati.
Shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati.
I'm going to ask you to chant. I'm going to ask everyone here to chant. You know, after, but we'll do it 3 times and then I'll put you on the spot. Okay. Atyahara prayasascha.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Pajalpo niyamagraha.
Pajalpo niyamagraha.
Janasangascha lolyam cha.
Janasangascha lolyam cha.
Shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati.
Shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Pajalpo niyamagraha.
Janasangascha lolyam cha.
Shandir bhakti vinashyati. Please chant.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Prajalpo
niyamagraha.
Janasangascha
lolyam cha.
Shadbhir
bhaktir vinashyati.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Prajalpo niyamagraha.
Janasangascha
lolyam cha.
Shadbhir
bhaktir vinashyati. Just an interruption here. I'm interrupting just a moment. So there's sometimes a different. Sometimes people go aha when they see the H A H with the dot under it, and sometimes people didn't. Even during Prabhupada's time, when Nitai and Pradyumna were his Sanskrit secretaries, they would usually go Niyamagraha. But Prabhupada himself never did it, which is very interesting.
Well, actually, there is a rule for how and when you do it. It's only at the end of the word.
I understand that, and I'm telling you that Prabhupada, even when it was in the end of the word, never did it. So I'm not saying you can't, you shouldn't do it, but I'm saying that's how Prabhupada did it. So, go ahead.
Well, you just blew my mind. Atyahara prayasascha.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Prajapo niyamagraha.
Prajapo niyamagraha.
Janasangascha
loyam cha.
Shadbir
bhaktir vinashyati.
Oh.
Good. Can you do or no?
I can.
Okay.
No?
Atyahara prayasascha.
Prajalpo
niyamagraha.
Janasangascha
loyam cha.
Shadbir
bhaktir vinashyati. Atyahara. Overeating or too much collecting?
Overeating or too much collecting.
Prayasa.
Over-endeavoring.
Cha.
And.
Prajalpa.
Prajalpa.
Idle talking.
Idle talking.
Niyama. Rules and regulations.
Rules and regulations.
Agraha.
Agraha.
Too much attachment to.
Too much attachment to.
Or too much neglect of.
Too much neglect of.
Janasanga.
Janasanga.
Association with worldly minded persons.
Association with worldly minded persons.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Lauliam.
Lauliam.
ardent longing or greed.
Ardent longing or greed.
Cha.
And.
Shadbhi.
By
these six.
Bhakti.
Devotional service. Is vinashyati.
Is destroyed.
Okay. One's devotional service is spoiled when he or she becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, 3, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, 4, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them. Okay. And not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6, being greedy for mundane achievements. Okay, close your book. What can you name those six? There are six things. Atyahara, priyat, yeah, okay.
Bad association, people of morally minded desires.
That's one of them. Yeah, that was Janasanga.
Collecting more than necessary.
Collecting more than necessary, which was included in something else.
Eating
more than required. They're contained in the same Atyahara. Yeah. Well, that's two. We got two now. What are the others?
Niyama agraha means like adhering too much. Agraha means like neglecting the rules and regulations.
Yeah, niyama is the rules and regulations of Shastra. Niyama, too much attached, means you want to follow them so much, but you forget the purpose of it, or you reject them. Yeah, right. Very good.
Eating too much.
We got that.
Oh, we did.
There's a few others.
Over-endeavoring.
Prayasas. Yeah, over-endeavoring for material things. Yeah. And there's one more. Oh, there's two more.
Speaking nonsense.
Prajalpa.
Yeah,
it didn't say speaking nonsense. It said idle talking. Yeah. And then the last one was? No, we got Niyamagraha.
Association with worldly
mind. Oh, yeah, that's another one. Your worldly minded people, yeah. He said that first. He started with that one, actually. And there's one more.
Greed.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Now, this purport that Prabhupada wrote here, it's 5 pages. It's about 5 pages long. So, we need to understand properly. We have to follow the acharya, so we have to read that. But I'd like each one of you to read some. And if there's questions along the way, please ask them. All right. Who will start? Can you start?
Okay.
Oh, you're not.
Yeah.
Okay. You can you start?
Human life is meant for.
No, let her start.
From Prabhupada, right?
Yes.
Human life is meant for plain living and high thinking. Since all conditioned living beings are under the control of Lord's third energy, this material world is designed so that one is obliged to work.
Yeah, that's closer.
Yeah.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has 3 primary energies, or potencies. The first is called Antaranga Shakti, or the internal potency. The second is called Tathastha Shakti, or marginal potency. The third is called Bahiranga Shakti, or external potency. The living entity constitute the marginal potency, and they are situated between internal and external potencies. Being subordinate as eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Jivatmas, or atomic living entities, must remain under the control of either internal or external potency. When they are under the control of internal potency, they display their natural constitutional activity, namely constant engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.13. Mahatmanas tu mam partha devim prakritim ashritaha bhajantya ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Pratha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Shall I continue?
Yeah, to the next paragraph, yeah.
The word Mahatma refers to those who are broad-minded, not cripple-minded. Cripple-minded persons always engaged in satisfying their senses, sometimes expand their activities in order to do good for others through some ism like nationalism, humanitarianism, or altruism. They may reject persons...
Do you know what altruism means?
No, I don't know.
Altruism means...
Charitable.
Doing good for everybody. Yeah, altruism. Doing good for everyone.
They may reject personal sense gratification for sense gratification of others, like the members of their family, community, or society, either national or international. Actually, all this is extended sense gratification, from personal to communal to social. This may all be very good from material point of view, but such activities have no spiritual value. Mm. The basis of such activity is sense gratification, either personal or extended. Only when a person gratifies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called Mahatma or broad-minded person.
Very good. Did you catch some of the ideas so far in the purport? The first point was
sense gratification extended.
Oh, that was three down. First point was that. Go ahead.
Three
energy was another point. Yeah. The first point was human life is meant for simple living and high thinking. Yeah. And why do you think that was included in this purport as one of the first things?
Well, it's the beginning of spiritual life, isn't it?
Think about it.
Not overly learning other things?
Atyahara, right. Atyahara. Atyahara begins, that if you're talking about the first word is atyahara. Don't eat too much or collect too much. So plain living, simple living, this goes along it. Okay, and then the next point was about everybody has to work, and under the different kind of energies, you have to work in different ways. And so there are the three energies, which were Bahiranga Shakti, or Maya, Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy, and Tatashta Shakti, that's the living entities. And the job of the living entities has to be service always, but ultimately it's to be engaged in the service of... Very good.
Bravo.
Yeah, so then Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananyamanaso gyatva bhutarima viyam. Krishna himself gives the definition of a Mahatma. And then Prabhupada talked about the different kinds of... this is the kripana. You heard this kripana? In English, we call it a creep. You don't know that word? Anyway, it's a derogatory term. He's a creep.
But is that what it really means?
Kripana means a cripple-minded person, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's similar. And so there's Mahatma, and the contrast is kripana. And kripana, the Prabhupada is giving this description, even when somebody is doing, they may do work just for the satisfaction of their own senses or for the satisfaction of the senses of their family or their community or their nation or even all the world, still, they're still defined as a kripana because the real purpose of everything is to engage yourself in the service of God. Yeah, so that's the real meaning of Mahatma. So other Mahatmas we don't really accept. According to, if we go by the definition of Krishna, Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very straightforward stuff. Yeah. Thank you for reading that. Who's next reading? You want to read next? Yeah, sure. Good. In the above quoted verse from Bhagavad Gita.
In the above quoted version of Bhagavad Gita, the word Daivim Prakritim refer to the control of the internal potency or the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This pleasure potency is manifested as Srimati Radharani or her expansion Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. When the individual jiva souls are under the control of the internal energy, their only engagement is the satisfaction of Krishna or Vishnu. Mm. This is the position of a Mahatma. If one is not a Mahatma, he is a Duratma, or a cripple-minded person. Such mentally crippled Duratmas are put under the control of Lord's external potency, Mahamaya. Indeed, all living entities within this material world are under the control of Mahamaya, whose business is to subject them to the influence of the threefold miseries, Adidaivika, Klesha, sufferings caused by the demigods such as droughts, earthquakes and storms, Adibhautika, Klesha, sufferings caused by other living entities like insects or enemies, and Adhyatmika Klesha, sufferings caused by one's own body and mind such as mental and physical infirmities. Daivi Bhudatma, Hetavaha, the conditional souls, subjected to these three miseries by the control of the external energy, suffer various difficulties. The main problem confronting the conditional souls is the repetition of birth, old age, disease and death. In the material world, one has to work for the maintenance of the body and soul. But how can one perform such work in a way that is favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness? Everyone requires possessions such as food grains, clothing, money and other things necessary for the maintenance of the body. But one should not collect more than necessary for his actual basic needs. If this natural principle is followed, there will be no difficulty in maintaining the body. Should I continue? According to nature's arrangement, living entities lower on the evolutionary scale do not eat or collect more than necessary. Consequently, in the animal kingdom, there is generally no economic problem or scarcity of necessities. If a bag of rice is placed in a public place, birds will come to eat a few grains and go away. A human being, however, will take away the whole bag. He will eat all his stomach and can hold and then try to keep the rest in storage. According to the scriptures, this collecting of more than necessary, atyahar, is prohibited. Now the entire world is suffering because of it. Collecting and eating more than necessary also causes prayasa, or unnecessary endeavor. By God's arrangement, anyone in any part of the world can live very peacefully if he has some land and a milk cow. There is no need for a man to move from one place to another to earn a livelihood, for one can produce food grains locally and get milk from cows. That can solve all economic problems. Fortunately, man has been given higher intelligence for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness or the understanding of God, one's relationship with Him, and the ultimate goal of life, love of God. Unfortunately, so-called civilized man, not caring for God realization, utilizes his intelligence to get more than necessary and simply eat to satisfy the tongue. By God's arrangement, there is sufficient scope for the production of milk and grains for human beings all over the world. But instead of using his higher intelligence to cultivate God consciousness, so-called intelligent men misuse their intelligence to produce many unnecessary and unwanted things. Thus, factories, slaughterhouses, brothels, and liquor shops are opened. If people are advised not to collect too many goods, eat too much or work unnecessarily to possess artificial amenities, they think they are being advised to return to primitive way of life. Generally, people do not like to accept plain living and high thinking. That is their unfortunate position.
Go ahead, continue.
Okay. Human life is meant for God realization, and the human being is given higher intelligence for this purpose. Those who believe that this higher intelligence is meant to attain a higher state should follow the instructions of Vedic literatures. By taking such instructions from higher authorities, one can actually become situated in perfect knowledge and give real meaning to life. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 9, Shishita Goswami describes the proper human dharma in this way. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya anartho arthayo pakalpate nartasya dharma kantasya kamo ragaya ki smritaha.
No, come on.
All occupational engagements, dharma, are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, dharma, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. The first step in human civilization consists of occupational engagements performed according to the scriptural injunctions. The higher intelligence of a human being should be trained to understand basic dharma. In human society, there are various religious conceptions characterized as Hindu, Christian, Hebrew, Mohammedan, Buddhist, and so on. For without religion, human society is no better than animal society. As stated above, dharma se hi apavargasya anartho Religion is meant for attaining emancipation, not for getting bread. Sometimes human society manufactures a system of so-called religion aimed at material advancement, but that is far from the purpose of true dharma. Religion entails understanding the laws of God, because the proper execution of these laws ultimately leads one out of material entanglement. This is the true purpose of religion. Unfortunately, people accept religion for material prosperity because of atyahara, or an excessive desire for such prosperity. True religion, however, instructs people to be satisfied with the bare necessities of life while cultivating Krishna consciousness. Even though we require economic development, true religion allows it only for supplying the bare necessity of material existence. Jivasya tattva jnyasa. The real purpose of life is to inquire about the absolute truth. If our endeavor, prayasa, is not to inquire about the absolute truth, we will simply increase our endeavor to satisfy our artificial needs. A spiritual aspirant should avoid mundane endeavor.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmiditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamaiham Dadati Shapandantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you read about two pages in, or so in the purport, and you hopefully got some different ideas out of that. Mm. I wrote some things down here that I wanted to highlight as well. Atyahara. So this was those two pages were about atyahara, which is what? Atyahara is what? No. What is it?
More than you need. Eating.
Eating more than you need, and also collecting more than you need. Yeah. So these things. This is one of the six things that, what's the result of those things, engaging those things? Destroy, vinashati bhakti, yeah. So you can do it once, you think, well, maybe not just once, but it can become a slippery slope also. You know? So you overeat once and you may not, you know, but then it becomes a habit. So in eating, there's two things. There's quantity and there's
quality.
You think quality? Type, yeah. So what are you going to eat? So you can overeat in both ways, right? Okay, so for example, type, it's very clear that in Krishna consciousness, you avoid eating meat, fish, and eggs. Other eating those things, even eating those things is a kind of atyahara. Parikshit Maharaj, in his speaking with Shukadev Goswami about understanding bhakti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, anyone can understand this thing, but there's one particular person who cannot understand the relationship of Krishna and the soul. And you know who that is?
The eater.
Atmahana. Yeah, somebody who kills the self, which is also could be interpreted as person who eats meat. So very, very, very interesting. So there's a lot of, there was various philosophers, and there's one philosopher. Have you ever heard of Boyzin? Anyway, he was a psychology kind of guy, but he was even within ISKCON. He was being promulgated as a model to follow, because he was a kind of a religious guy. But somebody came up with a complaint that, well, what? But this guy, he eats meat.
Well,
so should we follow the? Can he actually have true understanding of the relationship between God and the soul? According to Parikshit Maharaj, not. But Still, some people still follow. What about Christianity?
Yeah.
What about that?
It's Easter.
Huh? It's Easter, right? It's Easter. So, you know, how is it, you know, Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, Jesus Christ was a Shakti Avesh avatar. You know that?
Hare Krishna.
Shakti Avesh, a certain kind of avatar means they're empowered with the Shakti of God. They're not God, but they're empowered with the Shakti of God. So what about that? So some term in the Bible that's talking about Jesus Christ eating meat, or at least it seems that way. So what was Prabhupada's response to that? Do you know what Prabhupada's response?
Yeah, tell me. Circumstance.
And what was the circumstance there?
Everybody was, they didn't have anything to eat.
So yeah, sometimes Prabhupada would say, good. Well, sometimes Prabhupada said, in the desert, when there's nothing, then there might be some exceptions. Mm-hmm. That was one of his arguments. But generally, Prabhupada said, he emphasized, thou shalt not kill, as being very important. Other people, this is not necessarily Prabhupada's argument, but even among the Christian community themselves, I don't know if you're familiar with the event of the miracle of Jesus Christ feeding the multitudes. Do you know? Are you familiar with that?
Wonderful.
I don't think that happened on Easter, but there's a time when Jesus Christ was preaching, and there are all these people, you know, and in different gospels, it's in different places. So some places it's in the desert, some places it's by a river, some places it's on a hill. But anyway, it's not consistent. But there's all these people, and then while he's preaching, people say, "Hey, we're hungry." So what is he going to do? So in some translations of the Bible, they have him making a miracle. What's the miracle?
Loaves and fish.
They say they give him, he makes all these fish and loaves of bread and feeds the multitude.
5,000 men. That's counting just.
I don't know how many people, but it's lots. You can think of fish in the desert; they're pretty bad smell, right? anyway, that's the thing. But there are other people who know that in that time in the area of Galilee, there was a plant that was called the fish plant.
Oh.
And they used to make bread out of it.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Oh. So they say that really what he did was he made the miracle of getting bread made out of the fish plant. Something called a fish plant. Interesting.
Is this plant still existing now?
Yeah. So there's lots of moral and ecological arguments about against the eating of animal, you know, this kind of animal product, etc. And it's good to know those. Sometimes you have to argue in that way. But the main argument that Prabhupada always gave about eating, you know what that was?
Slaughterhouse.
Yes. Yagya shishtashina santo muchante sarva kilbishai bunjate te tvagam papa ye pachanti atmakara. This is Bhagavad Gita. Yagya shishta means the remnants of sacrifice. The remnants of sacrifice. Yagya shishtashina santo. They only, the spiritual people, santas, they only eat food offered in sacrifice, first offered in sacrifice. Muchante sarva kilbishai. And that frees them from all sinful reaction, just by eating. Muchante sarva kilbishai. Bunjate te togam papa. But eating just food for sense gratification, it gives you lots of sinful reaction. Bunjate te ye pachanti atmakara. Yes, sir.
When do you know if it's sense gratification or if it's for Krishna?
First, everything should be first offered to Krishna.
Krishna.
That's the main thing. So we offer Krishna things that he likes. So Krishna never says to offer him eggs, omelets, you know, salmon, any of that stuff. You know, steak, nothing of that. Patram pushpam palam toyam. All these things we offer. And then you eat the remnants after it's been offered, and that's prasad. You know that.
Yeah.
There, yes.
Yeah. Even though we are offering to Krishna, but sometimes we have that thing, I want to eat this. And
yes.
So I'm offering that thing. So still that thing is like killing this. Is it sinful or?
What are you offering?
Oh, the same thing, like vegetarian food, like, but we have a desire, I want to eat this today.
That's why
you're
offering.
That's why you're offering.
Yes,
because originally we wanted.
This is a very good question, and you know there's a lot of discussion on this in various websites, and here's how it goes. You know there's some people who say, well, here we're in the West, and we should why should we offer Krishna rice dal and chapatis? You know, we should offer Krishna lasagna. It's kind of similar thing.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting question. Prabhupada on one hand said the food is not the center of the thing. The important thing is the devotion. Yeah. We want to please Krishna, and that's their genuine problem. And the fact is that really all the time when we offer stuff to Krishna, we might have that feeling that we're really doing it for ourselves. All the time. Unless you're offering him something that you don't like. Right? Right? So the point is, we have to increase our real desire to serve and offer it to Krishna. To please Krishna. That's it. There's a very good discussion on this point. I'm just giving you the reference. You can look it up. It's called it's a discussion, a Prabhupada discussion called What Foods to Eat, July 1st, 1975, Morning Walk Conversation in Denver, Colorado. And if you listen to that, you'll get some good response to that. What Foods to Eat, Morning Walk Conversation, July 1st, 1975, Denver, Colorado. Huh?
That's right before you came to Philly.
Yes. Okay. So, another thing that's included in not eating more than required is not eating. There's certain things that Prabhupada required his initiated disciples to do. And what those were? You know, not eating meat, fish, or eggs, attending morning and evening classes,
chanting 16
rounds. Yeah, and you know another one was?
Do not associate with.
No, that's not there, actually. No, that's not there. You know what another one was? You should look it over. Don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. That's in there. That's in there. You look at it. So that would be atyahara. Right.
But who's a devotee?
Huh? Lord Chaitanya gave different recommendations. And he was asked every time devotees from Bengal, certain part of Bengal, where was that? Satyaraj Khan. Yeah, they asked every year, they would ask Lord Chaitanya, well, who's a devotee? And different times he gave different answers. The first answer he gave was, you know what?
The one who chants the name of Krishna one time.
Yes, that was his first answer. So those are perfect answers that he gives. Okay, so then we're talking about the quality or the type of food that's what you're talking about. Then there's also quantity, right? Quantity. What quantity should you eat?
So you're not hungry anymore.
Some people
don't eat too little, don't eat too much.
Good point, yes. That's recommended by Krishna Bhagavad Gita. He says that only a person who is regulated or temperate, regulated, sometimes it's given as regulated or temperate, in their habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pangs by practice of the yoga system. So Prabhupada gave some specific, even more detailed descriptions about eating also. He said, you can eat and you fill your stomach. How much? You have any idea?
Less than what you think.
Huh?
Half full, yeah, with solid food, then one quarter full with
water,
and the other quarter
for air.
That's right. That's the system. Now, some people say, well,
I thought he said lager.
No lattice. A quarter full with water, right? So some people say the water, when are you going to have that water?
After the meal.
Chanakya Pandit said,
before.
Prabhupada quoted, water before the meal is medicine, during the meal is nectar, after the meal is
poison.
You knew. Yeah.
Because the first you said medicine, so always.
Yeah.
Opposite.
Why? This is according to Ayurveda also.
Yes. I mean, Chanakya knew this stuff.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Before the meal is medicine. During the meal is nectar. After the meal is poison, because it messes up your digestion after meal. Okay, so taken this, we could probably have more water served out on the Sunday feast here.
Yeah.
And so, very interesting thing that happens by arrangement of nature is that when you eat up to a half full in your stomach, you know what happens?
Your hunger goes down.
That's true. Another thing that happens, you know what else happens? You know what else happens?
Secretion of the Chaturagni.
That also happens, but another very, 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 it's a very specific thing that happens that warns you what's going on.
You burp.
Your first burp, that's half full. Your second burp is three quarters full, so you got to watch that. First burp. So that's if you want to be Atyahara. You avoid Atyahara. How many times a day should you eat? I mean, now we're getting really detailed, right? How many times a day should you eat? In the West, people think you have to have three square meals a day, right? Yes. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So what do you say? What do you say? Prabhupada said a number of things, but what he actually did, you can look online. They have, if you go to krishna.com, they'll have Prabhupada's daily fare. Of course, he didn't do it all the time, but you know what he had in the morning?
Halva.
Rarely halva. Mostly he had fruit,
yes.
Milk. Sometimes he had, what do you call it? Muri? Muri? What is that? Puffed rice? Yeah, puffed rice. Muri. Yeah, muri. Sometimes in the really cold weather, he might have halva. On that list in Krishna.com, they'll say, wheat cereal, a boiled wheat cereal. Probably, as far as I know, Prabhupada never had wheat cereal in the morning. It was all the devotees in the temple had wheat cereal. They used to call it heavenly porridge. Heavenly porridge, and it was fruit. And they would have 6 to 8 chickpeas.
Yeah.
For protein, soaked overnight. Anyway, that's breakfast. Lunch.
Well, we were going here on Hari Nam.
Lunch.
Do something heavy.
Usually, Prabhupada. You know what time Prabhupada had his lunch usually? 1:30. It was like clockwork. Once, when you're regulated in your habits, these things work well, so your body doesn't become a distraction or disturbance for your spiritual consideration.
Hare Krishna.
Breakfast time was between 8 and 9 usually. Yes. Between 8 and every temple had a little different schedule, but
lunch
was 1:30, and there was rice, dal, chapati, sabji. That's it. Usually, once 6 days a week, it's raw food. 1 day a week is pakka. What do you call pakka? Yes, pakka. That's part of the Sunday feast. Sunday feast, you make it more elaborate. This is for 6 days a week, raw food. And in Vedic system, raw food didn't mean raw, 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 but it meant boiled or steamed or raw.
Oh.
Chapatis.
Yeah, chapatis, right?
Yeah.
6 days a week. 6 days a week. Boiled, dal, boiled.
And then what
time
the dinner?
Thank you. So what did Prabhupada take in the evening time?
That's when
hot milk. Sometimes he would take puris and hot milk, but rarely. Sometimes,
sugar.
Sometimes hot, mostly hot milk.
Yes.
Mostly hot milk. Sometimes muri also again, but that's it. So the dinner wasn't like a dinner, like
here. 6 to 7 p.m.
Yeah. Well, usually he would take hot milk at between 8 and 9 o'clock around that time. Yeah. So I mean, here is this is a little different than the way we do. Things are done in general. There are people who are working all day, then they have a hard time, then they come home.
So heavy lunch and light breakfast and dinner.
Yes. Okay. I'm just saying, this is generally the way things... Now, what about you know, what about snacks? You know, people have to, you know, the tongue says, come on, we have to have some snacks. So, yes?
Well, we used to make Simply Wonderful. Listen to this. We'd be getting out of, we'd go on Hari Nam, we'd be getting out of the van, and someone would drop on the ground. And that was my snack.
I believe it. So, but if you want for regulation, the main thing is you want to keep your main meals regulated. If there's time you need to take more at other times. First thing is drink water.
Yes.
Because you know sometimes the tongue just wants something.
Yeah.
It just wants something.
Yeah.
So you have drink water. Drink water. Second thing is fruits. Fruits. Offer the fruits. You can offer the fruits in the morning. Second thing is fruits, and then there's other things if it really becomes. But those try the first two first. That reduces the atyahara. Okay. Then of course there's also atyahara. Atyahara means overeating, and there's certain days when it's especially not a good idea to overeat, and those are Ekadashi and other fasting days. You know, there are other fasting days.
Holy days.
Yeah, so those holy days are meant to reduce the eating, not to increase the eating. So this is also atyahara. Okay. So then what that was one side is... I had so many more things, so many subjects that were more interesting than this.
We covered one of the six.
Collecting.
We haven't done collecting yet. Yeah, collecting.
It's also major thing.
Very major, yeah, collecting.
Here so, big houses.
So, yeah, collecting too much, you know. Well, I started to think about it as, you know, in collecting, people, especially in this country, they have a lot of different kinds of collections, like stamp collections, coin collections, beer mug collections, they have things called, they collect memorabilia. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Memorabilia. They usually collect things that were like somebody really venerates JFK or Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, and they they collect all things associated with Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, and then so they keep all these things.
And they pay enormous amounts of money.
Yes. Yes. Or, you know, somebody has to, in order to get all those things, they have to work very hard.
Yeah.
That's priyasas, right?
Yeah.
And there's something that's associated with the collecting too much. Usually, you know, I work in psychology, and there's people who tend to hoard. And when they get stuff and they keep it. And the reason they keep so much stuff, you know why? It's because if they don't, they feel this anxiety.
Oh my goodness.
They have a sense that this, having all this stuff, protects them. Really. This is the feeling. Because it's considered an anxiety disorder. That's what they classify it as. Because with having all this stuff, they think that, there's a sense that it will really protect them from disturbance. Well, you know what? The problem is it doesn't. So they have to continue collecting more. It's a cycle. That never stops. So the flip side of that is, if you don't collect more, then if you don't collect things, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions if anybody collects stuff. Really, it's not. You know, if somebody might collect.
Have that Christmas paraphernalia.
Yeah, that's another thing. That means the anxiety can be dispelled by learning to depend on Krishna.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Prabhupada's talking about how the people go and they collect bags of food because they're worried that they might not have enough food. Well, the thing that counteracts that is learning to accept the control of God. It goes along with it. It's the flip side of it. So Krishna consciousness means learning to accept the control of God. All right. I didn't want to spend so much time on this, but anyway. Okay. So should we? That was that. We did two pages. Okay. Atyahara prayasas means.
Oh,
Over endeavor. Yeah, a couple of things in over endeavor that we should think about is people have, you know, you have to work hard. You need all the stuff for your collections or for eating, then you have to work hard. You have to work very, very long hours at difficult jobs where people give you a hard time. And you may have to travel long distances commuting. You know, sometimes people have to commute like 50, 60 miles a day or 100 miles a day. There was they had a system in New York where there was a bus that used to pick up people in Stroudsburg to commute to, you know where Stroudsburg is, Pennsylvania? To commute all the way to New York City every day, and they would have, you know, they would travel in a bus and they would provide them breakfast. Yeah, 3 hours back and forth. So, yeah, that's priyasas. Another kind of priyasas is, for example, people want to get a great job, and they want to work hard to make sure their kids go to the best school. Isn't it? There's a where do they want to send the kids to school? Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Ivy League, at least Ivy League. UPenn is here, right? Got UPenn. So, yeah, and it's very difficult to get in there. They have to work very hard. So, but if you think about it, this is what we're talking about: material. People say, well, I'm going to get a good job and I will get a good position and I will use it for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get the good position, but most of the time they don't use it for Krishna. That's usually the time that happens. You know, and even people who have good positions, they don't necessarily have to have gone through the big schools. For example, where did Steve Jobs go? You know who Steve Jobs is, right? Huh? Yeah, he went to Reed College. Reed College was in Portland University in Portland, Oregon, and he dropped out. Right, right. Yeah. How did it happen that he became so wealthy? You could say he endeavored a lot, but no. Actually, he was karma, right?
Yeah.
And who was Bill Gates? Where did he go? He went to Harvard, but he also dropped out. So all the endeavor, people think we'll do things, we'll endeavor hard. But this is for material things. This is material things. How about for spiritual things? Is there over-endeavor in spiritual life?
No.
You say no.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because I try to do that.
You try very hard to do things for Krishna. Yeah. The translation here is this over-endeavor for material things. Does it happen? It's not related to spiritual things. So, you know, are there any examples of Prabhupada ever saying that there's over-endeavor for spiritual things? It's a good question. You'll find a couple. And I'll tell you the story. When Prabhupada first wanted to get land in Mayapur, we're talking about 1970, and there was land available. At that time, land was relatively cheap. So they had the place in Calcutta. Maybe you were there at the time. But he said that there was some land available, and he sent Jayapataka Maharaj to go to Mayapur area, Navadvip, and arrange for the purchase of some land there. He went there and he tried very, very hard, and it didn't happen. Specifically, Prabhupada wrote a letter. You can read the letter. He said one of the Gaudiya Mutt people stopped them from getting the land. One of the Gaudiya Mutt sannyasis. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to Sridhar Maharaj asking, why is our godbrother stopping his devotees from purchasing the land? Really. So then Prabhupada said this, okay, he called Jayapataka Maharaj back and... Yeah, later. He said that was like about 6 months later. 6 months later. So in that one instance, he didn't go forward. He didn't continue. But he didn't give up. You follow? So the spiritual endeavor, he tried his best, and then he took one step back and then came on the other way. It was just a few months later that they got it. But if you think about it, the whole Krishna consciousness movement could be seen as an over-endeavor. You know, at an old age, coming to the West, doing all this stuff. I mean, if you think, if you want to call that over, but we don't call it over and ever because it's for Krishna. If you want to really see another very interesting story about over and ever, look at the history of the development and establishment of the Bombay Temple. Amazing story. It's an amazing story of the endeavor that went into doing that for Krishna. So, generally speaking, for Krishna endeavoring, you may want to do something for Krishna, and you'll endeavor very hard to do it. It might always be successful, but you don't give up. That's called determination. Now, I could give you another example from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, which you probably know. It's a very interesting story. That when Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in Radhakunda in like 1935 or something like that, there had been recently a big temple built in Calcutta at Bagh Bazar. You know Bagh Bazar? Have you been to that temple?
Bagh Bazar?
Yeah, it's a gigantic temple, beautifully constructed. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, in the early days, we were happy. You know this? We would go out and collect a few rupees and offer nice things to Krishna, and we'd take prasad. We were very happy. Yeah. Now we have this big temple, and you know what he said? Everybody's fighting about which room am I going to get. I think we should sell the temple and take the money and print books and distribute books. Because they had stopped distributing books at the time. Which is very interesting. So, in this case, the endeavor, he wanted the endeavor to be on this side rather than that side, right? So here you got the temple here, the ISKCON temple in Philadelphia. They're building a temple. So is that prayasas?
It seems like
over and ever, is it?
Could see that way.
So it's prayasas if you're going to stop the other activities that are very important, like book distribution, like Rath Yatra, those things. That's prayasas. But Srila Prabhupada was encouraging all that stuff. Yeah. But don't lose perspective. If you lose perspective in your devotional service, if you're doing, you know, one thing and you're not chanting japa, That's where it can prayasas can be come in. You understand? I mean, you understand. It's prayasas. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much so.
Are we supposed to stop now? The real thing I wanted to talk about was Niyamagraha.
I think we can go up to 4.
Yeah, I don't mind sitting here until 9.
I'm going to go up in
the post. You know, we only get like one day for one this one. So, you know, the other ones...
So the next thing is Prajalpa. Prajalpa. Prajalpa is... Idle talk. Yeah. So, you know, we all have this tendency for idle talk, as you know, we like to talk behind the back and that stuff. Well, first of all, I want to, prajalpa, especially we want to avoid it in the temple, talking. And prajalpa, this definition given here was useless or idle talking, means there's no real good purpose. So in the temple is supposed to be a reflection of Vaikuntha. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah. You
know? When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was told by his spiritual master, you can't go to Calcutta. You can't go to Calcutta because it's Maya. And where did they start the first Gaudiya Math temple? In Calcutta. So how is that? Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, wherever the Krishna deity is and where there is worship of Krishna, that's Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha, idle talk means talk that's not directed for the pleasure of Krishna. So used to be in ISKCON, in the temple room, you never said anything to anybody that wasn't directly related. I'll make an amendment to that. When the deities are open.
Because I remember when we used to chant in the temple room, like
8 o'clock. Yes.
You couldn't talk at all.
Yes. As little as possible. I mean, you're chanting, you can chant, you can have kirtan, you can have Srimad Bhagavatam class, which is talking. But in terms of other talk, you know, idle talk, talking for about, you know, well, hey, what happened over there? Or, you know, what's going on? That was really avoided. That's really avoided. And it's one of the offenses also, if you look in the nectar devotion. But we're talking about, you know, in front of the deities, everything, every words are supposed to be directed for the pleasure or the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And if we do that, what happens in the temple room is it becomes like a spiritual atmosphere. It becomes wonderful. One of the first things that happened when I went to India, first time 1975, is I went to the temple room, and then everybody's talking, which was quite different from, you know, in America, in the Hare Krishna temple at that time. In the temple, nobody talked anything other than directly about Krishna, which made it really a Vaikuntha atmosphere. So that's one thing. So then the other thing is, you know, when we're talking about amongst ourselves, we always have to say something about somebody, right? We have to say something about, oh, look what he did. Look at this guy. Why did he do that, right? Always have to do something. That's kind of the vacho vegan we learned about last week. So one of the... I didn't even get to the controversial stuff today. If we get into the controversial stuff, that'll take another hour. But so what we're talking about? So we have to do that. Why do we do that? We like to criticize people, you know, usually behind their backs. Why?
Make yourself feel better.
Yeah, yeah. You put somebody else down, then that makes you higher, right? That's our thing. So. That tendency we should try to control, because it goes, that's a slippery slope. What is our goal in Krishna consciousness is to be a humble servant. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnuna amanina. So we don't really want to build ourselves up to be great individuals. If we do, that's the bhakti vinashyati. It destroys us. We want to become humble to people. And so doing that kind of back behind the back backbiting is going to be very disturbing to our hearts and to the atmosphere. So this is a really good practice. And it's very interesting. You know, the wives of the Brahmins at Krishna's time, there were some Brahmins. You know this story perhaps. When Krishna and the cowherd boys were out doing their, you know, they would do their activities playing in the Vrindavan forest. So in the middle of the morning, they got hungry. So Krishna said, well, the cowherd boys approached Krishna and said, come on, we're hungry, Arjuna, can we have some food? He said, well, Krishna, you know, there's some Brahmins nearby and they're doing sacrifices, and it's just about the time when they're going to distribute prasadam from that sacrifice. So you go and you ask them. So the boys went and they said, dear gods of among men, dear gods of the earth, Brahmins, right? They offered their obeisances, dandavats, please give us something. Krishna's nearby, we want to give him some food, please. You know what they did in response? What?
They didn't give.
Not only they didn't give, they ignored them completely. They didn't even talk to them. Can you imagine this? These are supposedly the Brahminically... This is an example of Niyamagraha. We were going to talk about Niyamagraha.
Yeah.
Following the rules and regulations. But yeah, yeah. So they just ignored them. They ignored them. Didn't even talk. Didn't even respond to their request. It's amazing, right? So then they came back and they were unhappy. So then Krishna said, okay, no, don't worry about it. Don't become unhappy. Sometimes you don't get what you want when you beg. So, but now ask the wives of the Brahmins. So Krishna, so the boys went to the wives of the Brahmins, and you know what happened? They were ecstatic, and they had all these preparations they brought for Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, and they were, you know. How did those Brahmins' wives get so excited and devotional towards Krishna? You know how they got so excited? Yes, but they had a certain way that they got. It certainly happened to... It's described there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When they would go to market, when they would go to market, the ladies who were selling stuff in the market were always talking about Krishna and Balaram. And they heard from the ladies in the market. They didn't hear from their husbands. They heard from the ladies in the market about the glories of Krishna and Balaram, and that gave them such ecstatic... They heard, but who did they hear from? So that was not Prajalpa, but that was Krishna Katha. Even the ladies in the market. Right? So that's the Vaikuntha atmosphere, Vaikuntha part of things. Very interesting. Yes, sir.
I was reading Bhakti Aloka, the commentary on Pradeshamrita written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yes.
In which he explained that there are seven types of prajalpa.
Okay.
There are seven different types of prajalpa, one of which is argumentation. Even sometimes, I see the tendency that when we talk about Krishna conscious stuff, many times the tendency is to look for some controversial subject to talk about, while there are so many other things which everyone agrees upon, which are also actually of prime importance, the interest actually goes to the controversy.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of, it's not that we actively avoid controversy. If the topic comes up, we do talk about it also. But, to actively, look for a controversial thing, and I was just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes. If there's a situation where there's a problem, and the problem usually has some multiple sides, that could be seen as a controversy, but sometimes it has to be addressed. You can't just leave it out. But unnecessarily harping on the same problem over and over again, I would agree, that's prajalpa. But if there's a disturbing situation that needs to be addressed, and then we have to address that. And I wouldn't say that's prajalpa.
So can you explain this fourth one a little more?
Which
one? When you follow the rules and regulations.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of
rules.
That's a huge one.
Yeah, I know,
that
is a big one.
You're okay? No, I'm
okay. I mean, that was going to be the most of what I was going to talk about, that one. That's a really a fun one. It's two things: not following rules,
or
following
rules.
Them just for the purpose of doing them without actually
become spiritual.
Yes. So whatever you do in Krishna consciousness, there's the purposes. What's the purpose? We have to think about what the purpose is, and that is always to serve Krishna and the spiritual master. That's their. We forget that all the time, and as a result, we don't get the benefit, or we get the benefit of pleasing Krishna and the spiritual master. So, for example, how many times someone can be in a kirtan and not think of Krishna during the whole kirtan, right?
Yeah.
That happens all the time. Or, we go into the temple room and you bow down in front of the deities, but you have to really, what is that bowing down? You'll see, a lot of times you see people will bow down and they'll put the hand like this on there. You see that? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So when you're bowing down, it means you're offering yourself, your prostrated obeisances and offering yourself in front of Krishna to please engage me in your service. But we don't think that way. This is, being inattentive. There's 10 offenses in chanting. Another offense is to be inattentive. That's really niyamagraha, in the sense that we're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. We're doing it kind of like in a rote, parrot-like fashion. Right. So these are some very preliminary examples of niyamagraha. Another thing that's very interesting that was spoken by Jiva Goswami, you'll find it in the commentary on 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. He says in Kali Yuga, no other devotional activity becomes successful unless it's accompanied by participation in kirtan. Very interesting. So that means, we might do deity worship, we might be cooking, blah, 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 but unless there's kirtan involved, before, after, sometime in between, then that stuff is, you're bordering on getting the result, which is a big deal. It's a big deal. Niyamaka. So yeah, these are
that means when we cook or do other things, we should listen to any kirtan someone is
singing. Yes, yeah. Not only that, but you know, at the end or at the beginning, the kirtan. You know, when Lord Chaitanya. This time. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling throughout South India, what did he do? He was chanting all the whole way. All the time. And who was there? No, there was nobody there a lot of times. Sometimes there were huge crowds and sometimes there was nobody there. But he was always chanting Krishna. When Prabhupada cooked in the kitchen, he would often be chanting Hare Krishna. Usually. It was very, very focused. We don't do that as much as we should. Yeah, I know. Because we're not focused on what the purpose is, which is Niyamagraha. Right? Very good. I wanted to talk on several other subjects, but I don't have time today.
There are such high instructions, but in the introduction we read, like, there are instructions for a neophyte devotee, beginning instructions for a neophyte devotee.
That's what it says.
Yeah. So, but they're not easy.
By practicing, yeah.
Well, yeah. We have to know the goal to get to the goal. Okay, I think we should, because it's only 3 minutes. Oh, it's after time. Anyway. Thank you.
Actually, a couple of devotees are out of station.
Yeah.
Who were supposed to come, and a couple of them are busy with their work.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the other. Hare Krishna. Mataji, okay, we are done. Okay. I just need a little help with this chair.
Can I keep those cushions down here?
Yes, that's a good idea. They're not very heavy.
No.
Thank you, Mataji, for coming.
I just found that today I have to go so I can come.
Is this Yermaba?
No.
Okay.
No, that's actually.
A second.
So I can buy the book.